Revelations, the story of the frames.
At last, with Dave at the mixing desk, the Frames were free to make the record they'd always wanted to make. That album would be called For the Birds.
With the For the Birds thing, it was like, again, we had been dropped off a record label. Although it was a lot easier the second time. And mainly because we wanted to be. And we just, as I said, it, very explicitly, we said, let's go and just go and make a record for making a record's sake. We did loads of the recording for the Birds like that, Den and Kerry. And, you know, you can definitely hear that it's kind of, I don't know, it's the most rural sounding of the records anyway, I think. And it's simply because that's where a lot of it was conceived and recorded. It was like a very, very cottage industry approach to the whole thing. And it was real kind of rough and ready.
Colm McInerney remembers the origins of their fourth album.
For the Birds was formed around a table with many pots of tea, do you know what I mean? And like talking about making a record that, rather than making a record for an audience to buy, that making a record that we'd like to buy ourselves. And I think for that to happen, we needed to kind of be willing to actually lose any ground that we'd gained thus far.
With Claire Leadbitter on board, the band were ready to take control of their own career.
I think they were confident enough at that point. It's probably a hell of a lot of growing up and like feeling, probably as young men signing to either Island or to ZTT, you feel you need this other whole area of experience to kind of bring to the table, and you don't really know how to put a record out or, you know, what's the radio hit or. But over, you know, 12 years of being in a band, I suppose there must come a point where you think, you know, 6 years in, 7 years in, you know what? We kind of do know that. So, you know, this is our opinion, this is our baby, this is our music. Could you kind of listen to us now?
For the Birds also benefited from the input of two friends of the Frames. First among them was former Deus member Craig Ward.
Craig was really important in this. Craig Ward came and sort of sat in with us during the rehearsals and talked us through what he felt our strong points were. And he was like, look, you make slow, sad songs very well. You know, you really do it very well. I mean, you know, your rock songs are good. You know, they are good. But what you're really good at is, you know, your sad stuff. Again, the Frames had been coming from this old school philosophy all the way along, which kind of translates as faster, you know, louder, bigger equals success. You know, this whole philosophy that pop music is all about up tempo, you know, positive, you know, rock and angst even, but not sadness. You know, sadness is just kind of like almost, it's just introverted. And, you know, so we made this record as a reaction. And Craig was like, well, how slow can you play it? How long can you make that intro? And that bit in the middle of Santa Maria, don't just go for 4 bars, go for 24 bars. You know, like, if you're going to make a sad record, if you're going to make a slow record, make it as slow as you can.
Let me off this boat, I'm sick of this ride. The world is heading ever southward and I can't stay in here. And you're lying awake, away in your sight. The feeling comes in waves and burns us, and I don't wanna die. From the slippery hands to the line of your throat, the fever now consumes us both, and find out we will go. Santa Maria.
Another key person in the recording was Nirvana and Pixies producer Steve Albini, whom the band had wanted to work with for many years. Their chance finally came when Glenn met Steve on holiday in America and was offered some studio time.
We're going to Chicago, and I don't care what you think. We're going to Chicago in 2 weeks to record with Steve Albini. And everyone just lost it. Everyone was just like, wow, this is amazing. And we went over and we made For the Birds with him. Because we were already in the process of making it ourselves in Kerry. We'd already done loads of work on it. But the opportunity to work with Steve was like this huge thing we couldn't pass up. You know, and we went and we had an amazing time with him.
Anyone expecting the combination of Albini and The Frames to result in a raw punk record would have been surprised by the number of slow, sad songs on the album. But as Albini admits, For the Birds was the record that sounded most like The Frames live.
They've been playing live a lot. The band was ready and, you know, Glenn was really excited about the material, so they were in a good position to work efficiently. In their other studio experiences, they had been doing things, they'd been making the record in a way completely different to the way that they would play a show. That is, they weren't all playing at the same time. They weren't necessarily interacting as a band. They were more doing a series of overdubs that would eventually create a simulacrum of a live band, you know. And on For the Birds, they basically just played the way they would every day in the rehearsal room or on stage. And it's not a surprise that it came out sounding more like they actually do, you know.
Living in the old house, I'm fighting on the stairs, staring out the windows, the breeze blowing through the ears. If I don't get out of this town, something's gonna break, 'cause I gotta find my own way now, through the sticky way.
For the Birds would become The Frames' most successful album. Yet at the time, neither the band nor their audience knew quite what to make of it. Glenn and Cullen both had mixed feelings.
And we were really, really happy. I mean, but at the same time, like, that, this is it. The classic sort of insecure, inner cynic. Like, 2 weeks before For the Birds was released, I left the band. Couldn't deal with it. I was just like, shit, we've done it. We've made a bad record, you know. We've made a bad record and people are going to hate us and we're going to lose all of our audience and, oh my God, what have we done? Should we not go back in and make it better? No, listen, I'm out of here. And we were in Amsterdam. Remember, we were playing with the Tindersticks one night and I bailed. I just went home. I couldn't deal with it. I freaked, like lost the head thinking this is it. We've made a big mistake here, you know. And the record was all about to come out. It was all moving. I remember, you know, we had given it to people to sort of, you know, given it to people to sort of listen to it, to, you know, to potentially sell for us and blah, blah, blah. And everyone was like, oh, man, we're not touching this. No one would touch it. No one wanted it. People were like, this isn't a good record. You know, this isn't what we wanted from The Frames. Everyone was expecting the bang, you know, everyone was expecting the glamorous thing.
And
people had said to us, why don't you go and show them by making the poppiest kick-ass record you've ever made? And but you can only ever sing the songs that are coming out. That's this. You know, there's no way you can never write a song for any other reason than it fell out of your mouth at the right time. You know, I don't believe in this philosophy that your music is like, you don't create it for your career. Your career comes after your music. You know, the career is a result of your art. Your art isn't, you know, engineered to make your career go well.
Tom Dunn remembers the album took a little time to get used to.
Initial reaction to For the Birds. I hate to say it. That thought that went through my mind was, this is a career-ending album. I just thought, there's been so much momentum built up for the band, you know, that songs similar in sound and style to Dance the Devil will go immediately to radio, will immediately pick up on all the goodwill that's gone before. You know, the daytime DJs that are starting to, you know, play the occasional Frame song will pick up on the first release from this album, if it's like Dance the Devil, and play it a lot. But they won't play this.
And even as the band were about to release For the Birds, Glenn was plagued with doubts.
And I was really proud of everything on it, but I just thought, we've made a mistake. You know, we're going to lose everyone on this one. The irony was, we put this record out into the world, And we all winced. We were like, here we go. And it's outsold everything we've done in our history, which, you know, to be honest, it isn't hard to do because we've never sold any copies, you know, very, very few copies of any of our records. But it outsold everything we've done in the past.
I suppose that was true about the irony of For the Birds, where we were willing to lose a sizable portion of whatever audience that we had, and that it ended up going the other way, you know. Totally, I mean, against the odds or against any rationale.
I kind of opened that album, put it on, thinking this should be the one. And when I heard it, I thought it's very, very quiet. It's, you know, I just know enough from working on a radio that it's not going to get programmed for daytime. And from that reason, it's not going to be radio that makes The Frames popular with this. So it therefore meant that it was going to have to be live, which did it. Now, as it turns out, it did do it. I think the audience respect them enough to say that they weren't going down the road of the easy option, which would have been to make Dance the Devil Part 2. They were doing something genuine that they believed in, and that they were able to carry off live because they believed in it as well. And I know that Glenn, when we were talking to him, he was saying, you know, he just really wants to make an album where the songs came through and the songs got wherever they wanted and whatever they needed. And for this album, that was almost nothing. It was the you know, what the songs needed was very, very sparse arrangements. So I think it connected with the fan base, and, you know, them being a great gigging band, as they toured it, it just connected with an audience and sold on that level.
To the extent that 2 years after releasing it, that we were in Australia touring it for the first time, you know, which is really bizarre. And, like, there's people
selling out venues, like, in Australia, you know, never been there before in our lives.
Mm.
We've sold more records in Australia than we have anywhere else.
In 2000, with For the Birds, The Frames began to reap the benefits of all their hard work. The album became their biggest seller. After the break, we'll hear how an independent band from Ireland managed to share stages with some of the biggest artists in the world.